This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We're joined in studio by Michael Gordon Francis. He came to our studio today from Crowley, where he lives, the same political hamlet that produced Edwin Edwards, John Brough, Edmund Reggie, Jim Nickel. Many Louisiana politicos have come from Crowley, Louisiana, and Mike Francis is a Republican. Most of the other notable ones are Democrats. But in 1994, when he became head of the Republican Party, at that time the GOP had all of 6 members in the 36-member Louisiana Senate and 18 members in the 105-member Louisiana House. That's 25 years ago. And now the GOP, after the election in 4 weeks from Saturday, quite possibly will have supermajorities in both houses, or at least one of them. And this is an amazing transformation of Louisiana politics. And this is the guy who got it started for the GOP. So like him or loathe him, Mike Francis is here to answer your questions. And he's also a current member of the Public Service Commission. There was a big debate that is ongoing, but there was a resolution of sorts Wednesday regarding solar energy, and we'll get his assessment of this as well. But good morning to you, Mike Francis.
Hey, good morning to you, Jim, and good to be back with you, and good to hear that voice, that radio voice that we've all enjoyed over all these years.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to sit here with you, and I commend you for coming in from Crowley. You never know when you're coming from that direction what you're going to get, and he was here on time and ready to go. So, Mike Francis, we've got an election 4 weeks from Saturday. There is a Democratic governor, but that's the only Democrat standing. John Bel Edwards is in Louisiana right now in statewide office. How do you see the governor's election?
I see the governor's race is very interesting. Looks like we've got two great Republican candidates running, and I encourage all my conservative friends, both Republicans and Democrats, if you're conservative, to go out and vote for one of these two Republican candidates. And I see a runoff coming because of that. And I see Governor Edwards going to the House. He's had his 4 years. It's time for a change.
Hey, he's a small-town man like you from a smaller town. And Mike Francis, for those unfamiliar, born in Gina in LaSalle Parish, became wealthy in the oil processing business from his base in Acadiana, and he has been a mover and shaker and a supporter financially to the Republican Party, chief executive officer for Francis Drilling Fluids, one of the oldest fluid companies on the Gulf Coast. 350 people or so, is that how many you employ?
We maxed out at 486 employees, a couple of 118-wheelers, 20-some-odd locations all the way from Rock Springs, Wyoming, to the mouth of the Mississippi. We had 8 locations on the Gulf Coast at one time. It was a wonderful time, and God really blessed our work.
Now, when people see you, they see a blue-collar guy. You don't look like a blue-blood Republican. How in the world did a guy like you become chairman of the Republican Party?
Well, Jim, when we started, it's been some 25 years ago, just got tired of sitting around griping about politics, had to do something. And back in those days, the Republican Party was known as the country club crowd. And it was a pretty exclusive small bunch of folks. And I wanted to get in and open things up and get others in on the opportunity of having a say in Louisiana. And, you know, God blessed our work. I was elected chairman. The way we went, back in those days, we had one statewide official, Fox McKithen, who was a very good friend of mine and a supporter and a mentor, and Miss Old Fox. And today, now we have all the statewides except the governor's race, and God willing, we'll change that starting October the 12th.
What do you credit the transformation to?
The job description of a Republican and a job description of a Democrat. And like you talk about Governor Edwards today, he's a military man, he's a pro-life, he's law enforcement man, and he has a lot of the same values that that I see in my old life and most of my friends. But the identity of the party that he represents is where I have the problem. And I would encourage people to look at your the job description of the party that you work for, what does that stand for? And the Democrat Party does not stand for the major part of what Louisiana people want. When you look at we had a debate last night on TV, and we had the shining stars of what the hope for the next president on the Democrat side is for, and it just does not fit Louisiana values.
877-217-5757. And if you agree or disagree with Mike Francis, we'd like to hear from you. Certainly, he is a card-carrying Republican. Have you always been a Republican?
Yes, I have, Jim.
You were never a Democrat.
No, I started out as a Republican. I was a redneck oil field hand from Gina, Louisiana. Spent my whole life in the oil and gas industry. And most of your oil and gas folks are very hard-working, conservative, mm-hmm. family values type of people. And they just don't belong in the party that stands for socialism and turning the world green.
Okay, well, there are those like John Breaux, for example. He believes the Democratic Party, his party, has gone too far to the left, but he also believes the Republican Party has gone way too far to the right, that the Republican Party is taking some stands that are not in the best interest of working class people. You are one of those who was, and I guess you still are a working class guy. You're not, as I mentioned, a blue blood country club Republican. Do you think the Republican Party is now the champion of the working class, or is this party, which is against in Louisiana against an increase in minimum wage, out of touch with the majority of Louisiana citizens?
I think that America and Louisiana has been made great by a two-party system, and I think each party keeps the other one honest, and that's why it's so important to identify what is the party platform. What does each party believe in? It's kind of like, what does your church believe in? We have several churches, and each one of them have a different platform. We have the Democrats and Republicans. And I think sometimes when we get a little bit too uppity, the other parties go call our hand and bring us back to where we need to be. And that's right in the center, serving all the people of Louisiana and America. So I agree. There are a few on the right-hand side of the Republican Party that need to get their butt kicked every once in a while. The same goes for on the left. But I go back to, what is the written, solid policy of each party? And Louisiana voters identify strongly with those on the right, not the left.
Well, the numbers indicate that. No doubt about it. We've got a red state when it comes to statewide politics, although in the big cities, you can consider Louisiana having any big cities. But for us, the big cities are New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, Monroe, Shreveport. Mm-hmm. Those all have Democratic mayors, with one exception. That's Lafayette, which is a Republican stronghold. Why do you think Democrats control the politics of the urban areas in this state?
I think it's been an evolution over in America and in Louisiana that over time the more liberal element have moved to the cities and the more conservative folks are in the suburbs, not in the country. When I ran for my seat at Public Service Commission, the major cities were New Iberia, Opelousas, Lake Charles, and Alexandria. And I carried 40% or so of the vote in each one of those metropolitan areas. But in the countryside, outside the suburbs, out in the country, I got probably around 70% of the vote to win in the first primary because of that. So my vote is in the suburbs and in the country with the country folks.
Mike Francis, he was chairman of the Republican Party in Louisiana from 1994 to 2000, then became a public service commissioner in 2016. He was elected on the same day as Donald John Trump was elected president of the United States. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757 is our number. And I mentioned 6 senators and 18 House members. That's all there were in 1994, 25 years ago, on the Republican side of the aisle in the Louisiana legislature. 6 Senate members and 18 House members, and one of those in the House was none other than David Vitter. And you can imagine he was one of 18, a distinct minority, but within that minority he became a powerful man. And he is largely responsible for the ascension to power of Bill Cassidy and John Kennedy. And both of those gentlemen were Democrats into their 50s. What happened? And I mean not just Democrats. They were liberal Democrats. Now they're conservative Republicans. What happened to Cassidy and Kennedy?
Well, I think they looked at the where the state and the country was headed, and they felt like that they were on the wrong road with the wrong party, that the party had left them and their ideas. I think they moved over and decided their life needed to change and become a little more conservative and fit what's the real values of most of the Louisiana Republican voters. And the voters proved it out and agreed and put them in office in the United States Senate.
877-217-5757. And if you could see Mike Francis, he's not in a Brooks Brothers suit. He definitely looks like the working guy that he was and is. And he is, of course, a fabulously successful businessman. And we'll return with him in 90 seconds on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. J.C. Kane is producing, signature support from Brian Lowe Financial, and in the house is Mike Francis, former chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, current member of the Public Service Commission. And when we had Foster Campbell on a few weeks ago, we noted that there are only five PSC members. So these gentlemen, all five men, represent a larger swath of territory than people who are in Congress. We have more PSC members than we do members of Congress by one. And to show you how the transformation occurred with Mike Francis as the head of the GOP in the state, in 1994, six Louisiana senators were Republicans. Today, 25 of the 39 members are. And in 1994, 18 House members. Today, 59 of the 105. And so they're getting close. The GOP is getting close to having a supermajority, and that could happen depending on the outcome of the election in October and in November. 877-217-5757. And this man came all the way from Crowley. I know some folks, generally people who call are those who have a bone to pick, and I'm sure a few do with Mike Francis, who is a good loyal Republican, but he's also a good man. And if you disagree with his policies or politics, that's fine, but don't attack him personally. Let's go to Ann on Bluebonnet. Ann, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I had a question for Mr. Francis, and that is, what are the specific steps that the Republican Party in Louisiana are willing to take to address climate change and global warming? And I'll take my answer off the air. I want specifics, not generalities. Thank you.
What specifics for global warming?
Climate change.
And climate change. I think one of the specifics is to be deeply involved with the discussion worldwide about climate change and the proofs of it. When you turn on the TV today, all the liberal stations say we're burning up. The world's going to end in another 10 years.
Well, we have had the hottest. Well, I don't know that they're saying the world's going to end in 10 years, but we've had the hottest years on record the last few years, and there is evidence that climate change is causing disruption, which means more hurricanes, more disasters, and more peril to our planet. So how do we address that?
We have to do it globally, not here in Louisiana or America. It needs to be a global discussion. And all the information I have, that China and India are polluting much more than Louisiana or America, and that this has to be a worldwide operation. Just because we could go green here in America, that's not going to affect the whole globe and the whole world. So I'm concerned, and I agree with President Trump took a stand against the climate change argument and the peace accord in Paris, and because we were the sucker there. We were the only one falling on the sword for the argument of the study of global warming, where the other...
Okay, well, how would you bring other countries to the table?
By having a great president like President Trump.
Well, he's not doing that. He just walked away from the table. But how do you get China and India on board?
He walked away from a bad deal, Jim.
Well, okay. Well, but is he actively involved in getting a new deal?
I think he is. I think he is. If you look at his what he is touting today with wind and solar energy increases in America, I agree with that. And here in Louisiana, we're expanding our green energy footprint. We've got quite a bit of solar coming on, and we're doing some research on our wind energy. Hopefully that has answered the latest question.
Chris on I-10, thank you, Ann, for calling. Chris, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to, it's less of a question and more just wanted to point out that the Republicans in the state supported Jindal when he was governor, and he spent most of his time running for different offices. He left
well,
the state
for one office.
Yeah, for one office. But he left the state in shambles, and I feel like that John Bel Edwards came in and inherited, like, this terrible, terrible state of affairs and has been a workhorse for this state since he's been there. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate his work, and I hope God blesses his work, and that I think he'd be a better governor than any of the people running for office right now, because those other people just don't have plans.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Well, what I know about Governor Edwards, I think he is a God-fearing man. I think God will bless his work. I'm on the man that called inside there. As far as Governor Jindal, that's water under the bridge now. We need to address things that are happening today. And I still think that we need to look at what is party politics. What does the leader of the Democrat Party in Louisiana, is he going to follow the code of conduct of a Democrat? If he does, that's not the code of conduct of a major part of the Louisiana voters.
He's bolted on the gun issue and on abortion. He's definitely a conservative on those issues. It seems that he goes by his conscience. But he's also in favor of an increase in the minimum wage. Is that a good idea, Mike Francis?
I think the minimum wage needs to be up to the people who hire the folks to work. And
So no minimum wage.
No,
zero.
I think we need to support businesses who treat you
employ more than 400 people. Do you pay anybody $7.25 an hour?
I had a company policy to be above whatever the standards were, and I've always paid even the kids who worked for me out of high school that mowed the grass. Made above minimum wage, and I think most God-fearing business people, but not everybody is
like you.
We don't need a law to tell people what to pay the folks. I think it's a supply and demand, and hard work gets a raise.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, hi. Mr. Francis. Does the Republican Party now stand for paying prostitutes while pretending to be for family values, for campaigning on a promise to not take your congressional pay, but then breaking that promise, and for breaking a promise to Jimmy Kimmel regarding children's health care?
All right, he's talking about three different things. I guess he's talking about Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels and Bill Cassidy's switch on health care. But is that fair to say the Republican Party is out of touch with the American people? Is that fair?
Well, Jim, to answer that question, I'm not the head of the Republican Party anymore. I can tell you about Mike Francis, and I would be against all those things that this gentleman just spoke about. And they have a fine young man who's running the Republican Party now, Louis Gervich. He should call Louis Gervich and ask him where he's headed with the Republican Party. He's the leader. But right. for Mike Francis, I am against all of those statements he just made about prostitutes and other things.
Well, and Mike Francis was also the man who orchestrated the victory of Mike Foster, the man from Franklin, to become governor in 95. That occurred on his watch. But this president we have, he has more divorces than all the presidents in U.S. history put together. He paid off an adult film star and a Playboy model who alleged that he had affairs with him. He has bragged about his personal life being during the Vietnam War, being his personal Vietnam, not getting venereal disease. Is he really the kind of, you're smiling and you're making me smile, is he the kind of man who should be in charge of our country?
Well, I voted for Donald Trump. I supported him early on when he was up against, 16, 17 other candidates. I did so because of I looked at the results of his business life, that he knows how to create jobs and create economy. And I did not value him on his basics, personal life. And today, after a couple of years, I'm valuing and looking at him, his record on what he has accomplished and where we're at today. We've got great unemployment numbers, and I'm very concerned about the minority worker, and it looks like he's delivered them a gift of more money and more work.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for Mike Francis, former Louisiana GOP chair and current PSC member. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Not so long ago, we had Democrat Foster Campbell, perhaps the last great populist in Louisiana. He was on this show, and of course, his PSC cohort is Mike Francis, Republican. And Mike Francis is a man who disagrees with Foster Campbell on just about everything. I wonder how the two of you get along. Do you speak to each other at these PSC meetings?
Actually, the Public Service Commission, probably 90% of the business we do is not partisan. The other 10% we have a lot of fun with, and I really enjoy working with Foster.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. He's my favorite Huey Long Democrat, all right?
Do you ever disagree?
Oh, absolutely.
Vociferously?
Yes. Foster is, he's the number two on the Public Service Commission, co-chairman, or vice chairman. Sits right next to me, and most of the time we get along. I like Foster a lot, and he's very candidly and outspoken on his Democrat views. But most of our business is not political.
Who are you supporting in the governor's election?
I'm supporting two Republicans. We've got
two
fine ones out there.
You can't decide which one.
We've got Mr. Responi and Mr. Abrahams, and. And I'm encouraging all my friends to go out and cast their vote for one of those Republicans. And whoever gets the majority, there will be in the runoff with Governor Edwards, and we'll send him home.
All right. Tom on I-12. Tom, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Francis. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Francis. How you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. Good to hear from you, Jim.
This is Tom.
Tom.
I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate your comments about Mr. Campbell, and I appreciate your comments about working together. And my slogan is that where the leaders cooperate, the people flourish, okay? Where leaders cooperate, the people flourish. And I want to let you know also that the Democratic Party has hit rock bottom, and we have nowhere to go but up. And we're rebuilding the party structure one parish at a time, and we're borrowing a page from your playbook on that. So have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Tom on I-12.
Tom, I agree with you completely. I think it's time for to get some of the bad things out of each party and tighten up a little bit. Where is a Republican, smaller, smarter government?
All right, I think I disconnected Ray in Prairieville. 877-217-5757 is your number. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana. Please be brief, my friend. David, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Congressman Abraham has said no one has ever worked their way up out of poverty by accepting government handouts, yet the Congressman Abraham receives millions of dollars of subsidies for his farm. Would you deny a poor person, as Republican Bobby Jandel did, health care under expanded Obamacare, say if they had a colonoscopy that discovered a malignant polyp that would save their life?
Well, I think it's a very complex issue. You need to call Governor General, ask him. I don't have a clue how to answer that.
All right. Well, Ralph Abraham has accepted federal subsidies. Is there anything inherently sinister about this? He is a farmer and, of course, veterinarian, businessman. What do you think?
We deal with subsidies every day in America. There are been a lot of good ideas that were brought to fruition because of a subsidy. We've been dealing with one here in Louisiana just recently about solar electricity and the subsidy that helped get that started. Mm-hmm. And we just acted this week at the commission to set some new rules about what we will do with solar energy here in Louisiana.
Anne Marie writes, along the lines of global warming, how does limiting net metering for solar panels help this form of sustainable renewable energy thrive in our state? Seems like a step backwards, writes Anne Marie.
Well, Anne Marie, in my opinion, net metering doesn't have a thing to do with global warming. I'll just stop right there.
All right. Well, what was the resolution Wednesday regarding solar energy?
About 15 years ago, the federal government decided to help kickstart the solar panels on rooftops to generate electricity. Shortly after, Louisiana legislature followed with a tax break for that. So you could put in a solar panel with a good bit of support from the federal and the state government. Along with that, in that process, that meant that the pricing on buying and selling electricity came up on the radar with the Public Service Commission because we regulate those prices. So we became involved because if you have a solar panel, you generate your own electricity, that's fine. You're free to do that. But when you sell back electricity to own the grid, then you coming underneath our jurisdiction on the pricing of that. And this week we passed a new rule that affects the pricing on solar panels and electricity generated.
Ray in Prairieville. Hello, Ray. Good morning. You're on the air with Mike Francis.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. And got a couple quick ones with Mike Francis. Well, number one, the global warming, Trump, that's anti-science, his approach. But the more important from the state standpoint, I just got back from doing volunteer work at public schools. We just recently gave the first raise to public school teachers in 10 years, Republican-dominated legislature. And I'd like to know what Mr. Francis thinks. Is he going to want to go another 10 years before we give the teachers another raise?
Well, sir, when I ran my business, we tried to help our employees every year, and I'm sure in support of all the teachers, especially looks like we may be starting to gain a little bit on our scores. They're still pretty low. But I also support the special schools that we put out there to go out and give some of the people in the depressed area where the education is so poor. And some of those have been private schools or schools that we've really targeted that have been away from the regulations and the strong hand of some of these teachers' unions who, in my opinion, have hurt our education system.
Donald in South Downs. Hi, Donald. You're on the air with Mike Francis.
Hi, Mr. Francis. This is Donald Hodge. I spoke in front of the Public Service Commission against the rule change because, quite frankly, what you and the other two Republicans on that commission did was get in bed with Entergy and allow them to make profits off of the energy we are producing. The CEO of Entergy made $9 million last year, Mr. Francis. I know you know that. Entergy uses lots of their money to have a Superdome suite down in New Orleans. They party up. And all that is on the back of the ratepayers. And they have a monopoly, government sanctioned, and all that is standing in their way are three commissioners. So I want you to tell us why you believe the CEO of Entergy deserves $9 million a year.
Well, Donald, I don't think we have enough time to explain all that. I will tell you what I think about the rule change we did this week. We changed the amount of income that you will get from your electricity you generate to what's called avoided cost. If you have to look at simplify this cost of electricity. What does electricity cost that you generate off your solar panel? And it's the generator and the fuel. If you had a $100 bill from a utility company, only about $40 of that $100 is for the generator and the fuel. So when you put electricity back onto the grid from your solar panel, you should only receive that same value. That's the rule change that we made this week.
Thank you, Donald. Appreciate your call. Richard in in Sherwood. Hi, Richard. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Francis.
Good morning. Good morning. Remember, we are Democrats, Republicans. That's all good. But remember, we're Christians first. This is a Christian nation, and that's what we was founded on. And for the subsidies for the rich and welfare for the poor, that ain't fair. This nation always helped their poor people.
Is that a mandate to the American people to help those who are less well off?
Yeah, and in God's word, it also says to tithe 10%. I think if everyone, a brother, would tithe their 10% when they go to church this Sunday, we wouldn't have to worry about welfare. Everybody would be taken care of.
All right. Do you tithe 10%?
Absolutely, I tithe 10%.
I imagine.
Do you, Jim?
I give 10% to charitable causes, some to my church.
Yeah.
But I don't give 10% to my church, and I suspect most don't. And your income is, I suspect, higher than mine, Mike. So I imagine your pastor is very happy to see you when you walk in the church.
Well, look, according to statistics, 20% of the country gives 80% of the tithes. 80% of the country gives 20% of the tithes. And if people would tithe, we would have to have a lot less government support.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Mike. First of all, I just want to say something since you're talking about Public Service Commission business. I know if I need help, I call one office and I get help because that's all they ask. What can we do to help you? And that's Foster Campbell's office. But, Mr. Francis, talking about your endorsement of one of the two Republicans, whichever one we want, I was wondering if you had asked Dr. Abraham about those two pharmacies he's got way up in the middle of nowhere in North Louisiana that, according to the Washington Post, have put out 1.4 million opioids over the past 6 years.
All right. Next time I talk to Congressman Abraham, I'll ask him about those opioid prescriptions.
Well, should a doctor – is there a conflict of interest being a doctor and owning a pharmacy?
I really don't know whether it's or not. That's a new one on me. I'll do a research, a little check on it. I'll ask Abraham what he thinks.
And we're short on time, so I tell you what, we've got some listeners who have asked some good questions, and hopefully we can get Mike Francis back soon. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. And thanks for coming in from Crowley today. Public Service Commissioner of note and former chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, and he's the guy who got it all started with his GOP sweep across Louisiana. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. J.C. Kane producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. Tyler Bridges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who now writes prolifically for The Advocate and covers Louisiana politics, and also the author with Jeremy Alford of Long Shot. 2015, the governor's election. That one was one that was a fascinating race involving John Bel Edwards, David Vitter, Scott Angel, and Jay Darden. This year, not so much lead up to the October 12th primary. Here we are 4 weeks from Saturday, and Tyler Bridges, I think you would acknowledge it's been tame by comparison.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. I would certainly say that Jeremy and I had a good race to write a book about 4 years ago when we putting together Long Shot. But this year's race has been a pretty tame affair, and I'm not sure that it makes for book material. No disrespect to the candidates.
In your column yesterday, you noted the Bernie Pinsonette poll right now showing Governor Edwards at 47%, Ralph Abraham 24%, Eddie Rasponi 16%. Now, that is both good and bad news, depending on which side you're on, and you can make a case either way. The governor's not at 50%, which he will have to be, plus one vote to win on October 12th, but yet he's almost double his nearest competitor. Do you think that he has the advantage, or is he vulnerable if he's forced into a runoff?
Well, one thing that I've really learned very clearly, and a lot of us learned, Jim, remember in that 2016 presidential election at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so many of us thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. So if on election day we're all going to get it wrong, I really try not to prognosticate. But based on the Vern Kennedy poll from last month and then the most recent poll by Bernie Pinsonet, I think those polls are showing that Governor Edwards has, at this point, or at least when the polls were taken, a 50-50 shot of winning the primary outright. And then people can make arguments on both sides if he gets 49-48 or even lower, 45. Obviously, the lower he gets in the primary, the more vulnerable he becomes in a runoff.
Well, if he's at 45, it's a race, but if he's at 49, I have a feeling he'll win by about the same margin he did in 2015, and he beat David Vitter by 12 percentage points. But, Tyler, that race, as controversial as it was, and Vitter is a polarizing figure, it only received 40% of the electorate showing up at the polls, and that compares to almost double that in 1991 when Edwin Edwards and David Duke were on the ballot. Why were we not energized as a people in the 2015 election, at least not many of us, to get out and vote? Most of us didn't.
Yeah, Jim, that's a great question, and I have puzzled over that, both in the primary and in the runoff election in 2015. The turnout was around 40%, and I think one of the things was that I think a number of people just couldn't, particularly conservatives, couldn't bring themselves to vote for David Vitter, but they said, hey, I don't want to vote for this Democrat either. And I think that was probably the biggest reason, and I guess they felt also maybe that neither candidate was addressing their particular concerns. And as we've discussed already, it's a pretty tame election so far. Doesn't seem to be a lot of engagement by the public in this election, so we may even have a lower turnout. I think that's too bad. I'm a big believer in we get the government we deserve. And if people don't turn out to vote for their governor and down ballot, you know, getting educated in their legislative candidates, then that allows the special interest to dominate.
877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org, our email. And here's a question from Hal in Monroe about some of the prominent Republicans, notably Kennedy and Graves, not saying a whole lot right now about the race. And Hal asks if they secretly want John Bell to be reelected so that they will have an open seat to run for in 2023.
Well, that's obviously a very speculative question. The chatter that I hear, Jim, is that Garrett Graves would be positioned to run for governor in 4 years, and obviously it would be he would be less likely to run if he was taking on a Republican incumbent, you know, it's a little too far to really think too much about that. Really try to focus on, at least on my end, and trying to put out stories that will engage readers and want to make them make informed choices for this election that's coming up. As you said, it's right around the corner. October 12th is the primary.
It is 4 weeks away, and it's pretty tepid in other races as well. There are Democrats on the ballot, but not many of them have run formidable campaigns, and all of the other Republicans who are in statewide office are expected to be reelected. And looking to 2023, it's been mentioned on this show a few times, and listener Brennan notes that there is always the prospect of a young man named Drew Brees running for governor in 2023. He has, according to those close to him, expressed some interest in a political career. And I would imagine, Tyler, despite his problems over the last week, that if he were to run for governor of Louisiana as a Republican, which apparently that is what he is, he would be very difficult to beat.
Again, very, very speculative on many fronts, but he's obviously an extraordinarily popular guy. And if he were to lead the Saints to another Super Bowl victory, you could probably crown him king of Louisiana.
I think you're right. Now, you know David Vitter, as do I, and he is one of the most competitive people I've ever met in politics, and also one of the most, let's face it, vindictive people. And some people would view that as a sign of strength. Why is he not after John Bel Edwards? Because obviously he lost to Edwards, and he doesn't like losing, and you would think that he would be out there trying to have Edwards unseated. I haven't heard much from the former senator.
Well, you're absolutely right. We haven't heard very much from either of the two titans of the Republican Party in recent years, former Governor Jindal or now former Senator David Vitter. I think they're both radioactive politically. I think if we poll the people of Louisiana, we'd see that Jindal's approval rating is pretty low and Vitter's is pretty low. And you don't see any of the Republican candidates wanting a public embrace by either Jindal or Vitter. And I think it makes both sense for both of those men also just to kind of lay low. They may be raising some money or directing some money from contributors to one candidate or another to the party, but it really makes no sense on either side to involve them in Louisiana politics at this point.
We're listening to Tyler Bridges, who's covering the governor's election for The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana. And earlier we heard from Mike Francis, who 25 years ago, when he became chair of the Louisiana GOP, six Louisiana senators were GOP members. Now they're 25, and 18 House members. Now they're 59. And those numbers are likely to go up after the election. How do you explain this transformation we've had in our state, Tyler?
Yeah, well, as you said, there's 25 of the 39 senators are Republicans, 61 of the 105 House members are Republicans. What we've seen in Louisiana is a trend that has really gone throughout the South, where the conservative Democrats are now voting Republican. And funny enough, as you know, Jim, even party registration remains. There are more Democrats registered in the state than Republicans, but we have a situation where only one Democrat is elected statewide office, and that's John Bel Edwards. And then we've got these Republican majorities in the legislature, and then both Republican senators, both senators are Republican, and just down the line. And culturally, this is a conservative state, and issues that, particularly abortion and guns, which are very important for many. Many voters, probably many of your listeners, those are Republican issues, and don't see it anytime soon that Louisiana going back to becoming a Democratic state again. Louisiana has fallen in line with much of the South.
Well, the GOP is within one of a supermajority in the Senate and within nine, I believe, of a supermajority in the Louisiana House. So if that were to happen, then John Bel Edwards, if he's reelected, we'll have a legislature that, well, pardon the pun, can trump him because they can basically do whatever they want because they've got the votes if they all stick together. That would be an amazing prospect.
Well, I think you the last thing you said, if they stick together, when the Democrats were in the majority of the legislature, and the Republicans were gaining, to say, during that period, like, for example, the 1990s when Mike Francis and others were having success in building the Republican ranks, legislators didn't vote the party line. They were either with the governor or they were against the governor. And remember when Bobby Jindal was governor, during his first term, he had a Democratic president of the state Senate who worked with him again. It was either you're with the governor or against the governor. Now that we've seen in the last 4 years, that has changed in the state House. It has not changed in the state Senate. But in the last 4 years of the state House under Taylor Barra, the conservatives elected their own for the first time as Speaker of the House. And we've now seen a more partisan House. Again, the Senate has not been that way, particularly under John Alario in the last 8 years. Now with Alario term limited, the Senate will probably be more conservative, probably be more partisan. But remember, as you know, Jim, the governor has so much power through various appointments he can make.
We've got a roll, Tyler, but it's always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll catch up before the election. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We'll be back Monday. Stay tuned.